Well, hello and welcome to the Wednesday Word. This is the Desert Spring Church podcast coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. And we are into a new month, the month of March. And it's, is it March Madness? That's kind of appropriate because it's all about parents, right? Parenting. So I guess March Madness, I guess that's appropriate. We're going to do that. We're taking a twist on that. My name is Julie Hart. I serve as the Director of Connectional Ministries here. And this morning we have three other fabulous staff members who happen to be moms. And a fourth one will be joining us also. So it's going to be a great month of talking about what it's like to be a parent. And everyone, parents from different ages and stages and step-parent. And we've kind of got a lot of things represented here. So this will be some really good conversations. So before we get started, let's go ahead. Like I said, I'm Julie Hart. I have two sons. They are 23 and 27. So it happens when you get old. They're 23 and 27. So I say mine got up and launched and out before the pandemic. So I kind of feel like I dodged a bullet because a lot of the things that y'all are dealing with are they really weren't things that I had to deal with so much. So I'm here to represent the empty nesters, moms of adult kids. And so I've done it, but in a different time. So it's a whole new game. Kids didn't have cell phones in their hands when they were two. So it's a very, very different thing. I recognize that. And I feel like God probably knew I couldn't have handled it at this time. So that's why it happened as it did. So anyway, Katie, let's go to you. If you can introduce yourself, tell us about your kids and what you do here at church.
Totally. So my name is Katie. I'm the music director here and I do the youth too, which means I'm in charge of the teens with Lindsay, who you'll hear from a little bit later. I have two children and I'm at a little bit of a different walk than Julie is with her kids, but very similar because, and I always feel like we're talking about how similar our children.
It's
so
cool.
I have two boys as well. I have a 5-year-old and sorry. Wow. And I can't even remember their
names. Do you know their names?
I have a 6-year-old. I do know their names at least, you know, on my good days. So I have a 6-year-old and a boy who just turned 8 years old. And I think definitely chaos coordinator would be the title because, you know, I just feel like we're like herding sheep and with my job and with my children, we're just kind of just trying to rein it in a little bit. But I'm excited to be a part of this podcast and the podcast throughout March.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to, because Boy Moms Unite, I am going to tell you the good news is that it really is the easy button. So when I watched all my friends, when their girls went through, you know, being teenagers, I'm like, okay, all right, my turn to sit back and watch. I'm like, yes, my kids were like, you know, climbing the monkey bars and, you know, loud and smelly. But all right, now it's your turn. So I think in the end, you'll be good. And I do, it gives me a cheer watching your kids because it kind of brings back watching my kids grow up being best buddies. And they're really sweet. So
that's right. We'll make it through.
All right. So to keep it confusing, we have two Katies. So Katie.
I'm Katie Falter, more known as Katie F. I have 5 kids, 2 bonus kids. So our oldest is 23. Then we have a 17-year-old, a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. So, and I work here at the church. I'm a Sunday school teacher for the babies through preschoolers. So, yeah.
Wonderful. So you have all ages, all genders, got it all represented.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And I also have a grandbaby that's 3 months old from the 23-year-old. So, yes.
Okay. And then Lindsay.
I am Lindsay. I'm the other half of the youth director. And I have 2 children. Katie likes to say she's the chaos coordinator. I, on the other hand, am the chaos creator.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's so that's why we work together very well. I have a boy and a girl. Mine are also 6 and 8. And I have a 3rd mystery baby on the way. So
mystery baby.
Yeah. An unknown gender baby. Yeah. That sounds better. An unknown gender baby. that is due in 36 days.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Like, is it a boy, girl, alien? What is it?
I mean, I'm not sure. Based on my symptoms, it might be a beluga whale. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure the hot Cheetos will help.
Whatever yes,
it is.
Exactly.
So that's wonderful. And then we will have join us in future episodes, Faith, who serves as our children's ministry director, who has an adorable little one. So it's great that we have y'all represented. So I'm going to be kicking you off. I'm going to be kicking this off, and then you're going to be kicking me out after this episode. And I won't be dropping the mic, but I'll be passing the mic along. So I just thought maybe I could ask you a few questions just in general about parenthood. So does anybody have a favorite age so far? A favorite age that you're like, oh, this is the best age?
I love the infant stage. It's my favorite. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Really?
I do.
Ugh.
The brand new infant stage has to be my favorite. And I do love every stage that we've been through so far, but I'm really looking forward to having a newborn again. I don't sleep very well anyways, so waking up throughout the night doesn't bother me at all. So I love just being up with them by myself and just all the baby snuggles and when they're contact napping on you and when they need you and they're just...
Which is 24 hours of the day.
Which is 24 hours a day, yes. Because I love to baby wear. So I love when they're just strapped to you and you can smell their little heads and they have that distinct baby smell like newborn puppies. And they're just so sweet. I love the infant stage. That is absolutely my favorite.
Okay. You are an alien. All right. So, Katie...
I think I was opposite. I was really excited when they were both out of diapers, both not nursing, and all of a sudden I felt like I had just a little bit of freedom. They could play a little bit on their own, you know?
Yeah.
That was my favorite stage. And that had to be like, I guess, when kindergarten hit, maybe a little bit before that. So like 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice we have a big brother because then they kind of, then they kind of can help the other one. I just remember the first time I'm like, they're up, they've made their own cereal and they're watching cartoons. I have arrived.
Right. Like, or they got up, they put on their clothes, they brushed their teeth.
Yeah.
And they did their hair all on their own. Yeah. Like that is
They did not
huge.
Use toothpaste and their hair is a wreck, but it's okay. They did
it.
Yes,
but they did it. Yeah. Yes.
Very cool.
Yes.
So what about you, Katie?
I'm with Katie B. I'm living the stage of life because my kids can get up. They know to get dressed. They know to get dressed, get breakfast. They got to brush their teeth, brush their hair. They know to come home. We do homework right away, although I still have to help my younger two with their homework. My oldest can do her homework by herself. So I love the stage of them being independent.
Yeah, independent.
So, yes.
I have to say, brain development-wise, I think junior high is the coolest age because they still do want to play with Legos and cars. They want to be, they're like learning about real-world things and they're kind of, you're just kind of watching them figure things out and their brains are just... they're just wild what they come up with. And so I've always loved the quirkiness of junior high. In senior high, they get a little more serious and, they're still silly in junior high, or they were when my kids were younger. So I do love that. And when they start to kind of become their own people. So, I guess somebody said, I heard not long ago, that we're not really raising children, we're raising adults, right? We're raising people, and I think we probably all have the same goal of just raising good and decent humans, So I remember, for me, my first child came early, a couple weeks early, but he was 5 pounds, and I couldn't believe they sent me home with him. He was tiny and whatever. And just when it hits you, like, this is a huge responsibility. Like, there's a whole person that now you are responsible for. And of course you dream. And if y'all, I don't know if you wrote letters to your future children or letters along the way, but that my question for you is what were your dreams and what are your dreams for your children?
I always dreamed of homeschooling and that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a really cool journey. I knew before we started having kids, when my husband and I first met, I had always said that I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom and I wanted to homeschool our kids. I wasn't interested in them going to school. And he was very foreign to the idea. It was not something. He grew up in a very small town in Northern California. Homeschooling wasn't a thing. And it was just a very foreign concept. And until he met me, he wasn't even really around children ever. So this was something that he was like, well, if you are super passionate about it, I'll support you. And the way our journey has kind of led, I actually am at work now and he is not. So he's the one that's home with them during the day. And I'm signing them up for all these activities. And a lot of the times, my husband's the one's taking them to each of them. He gets them ready for soccer practice and he takes them. And at the end of the day, he always says how much he also enjoys it. And he's really glad that we took this journey because he gets all of this like really wonderful quality time. When our oldest was first born, the day I was coming home from the hospital, he started his second job. So he actually couldn't pick me up from the hospital. My parents had to. And he was working two full-time jobs. He worked the first one 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then he came home to change clothes and worked 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. And he did that for the first year of our child's life. So he really did miss out on all of the first year moments and all the firsts and everything that our son had. And I think it's really been a blessing that our roles have kind of switched a little bit because he's now getting to enjoy all of these really amazing quality time with them.
That's great.
So it's been a really cool journey to see unfold. And I'm still home a good majority of the time when I'm not here at church. And we do a lot of our stuff together. Like yesterday, our kids had gymnastics. And it's a really wonderful thing that both of us got to go to take them in the middle of the day. Nice. It's a homeschool gymnastics class, and we both go together now. Michael takes them to soccer, and I meet them there on the field, and we both get to witness both of them. So it's a really cool place to be in right now.
That's great. That's great. So it's not exactly as you dreamed it. It's even cooler in some ways and different. And that's,
absolutely.
That's awesome.
It's not the plan that we thought it was going to look like, but it looks so much better right now than we could have imagined.
Well, for most of us, things go exactly as planned, right? Right? So which Katie wants to go next?
I'll go.
Okay.
For me, of course, mine is like the cliche answer of I want them to be happy and healthy. But I'm enjoying the stage of letting them explore who they are by if, like, my oldest last year did choir. And then this year I'm like, do you want to do choir? And she's like, no, I'm not interested in doing choir. So she's not doing choir. But she wanted a guitar from Santa. And then my son wanted a piano from Santa. And they haven't played them in, like, a year or two. I'm like, okay, we're going to do piano and guitar lessons and see how you like that. And so I'm just enjoying watching them figure out who they are because they also get to pick out their outfits and sometimes their outfits do not match very well and look very crazy. But I'm just like, you're figuring out who you are. And as long as they're happy in their adult life and throughout their life, then I'm happy with whoever they turn out to be in the future.
Yeah. And it's good that you let them try different things. I know when we, my kid's dad and I, when the first one was born, you know, he was like, they got to go to private school. I'm like, yeah, have you seen our salaries? And, you know, I said, I think it's more important for us to be able, for us, because that would be everything. We'd put everything into that, to be able to provide them with other opportunities. So for our kids, they, you know, music, they were really into music and they did the soccer, whatever. So the resources that we did have, not that any parent has extra resources, went into that enrichment. And I like that, you know, they don't have to do it forever. Just because you get them a guitar doesn't mean like you now play the guitar forever, but you know, that you try it. So that's really great. What about you, Kate? I'm just Katie B. I'm gonna have to Katie.
I had to think about that for a second. I think sometimes as parents our goals and our dreams for our kids kind of are morphed around what we didn't feel like we necessarily had. So I don't know. For my goals for my relationships with my kids, I want them always to trust me.
Yeah,
I want them to know that I'm not going to lie to them about anything. Even if I don't know if they can totally handle the truth, I'm going to try to give them the truth. Because I want them to know that if they ask me something, I'm going to tell them the truth.
I love that. And if they're old, if they can ask you the question, they probably are ready.
Thank you. Yes, right? I agree. I agree with that. Yeah. So I try to give good scientific explanations to the best of my ability. I use the Google.
Oh, God. Thank God for Google, right?
Yes.
How did our parents do that without that? I'm not sure.
I know. I show images. We bring up YouTube. We look at videos of, like, you know, with pregnancy and stuff like that. And they want to know how that happens in the body. And so, yeah, thank goodness for Google and videos and stuff like that. I think for their life, for my dreams and goals for their adulthood. Was that what the question was originally?
What were your dreams for your kids? Okay. And my questions don't matter. Whatever what you say matters.
I hope that they, you know, just like Katie, happy, healthy. I hope they believe in themselves. Mm. I hope that they forgive themselves. I hope that they're critical thinkers and they really think things through before doing it, or that they learn to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are the main things for me.
Yeah. It's interesting because, again, my kids being older, you know, and you just – we just – as moms, we have guilt. If we're at work, we feel guilty for not being with our kids. And if we're – you know, we're just – we're always guilty in, like, everything we do. Like oh, my – how am I – maybe it was just me. How am I messing my kid up?
No, I love that. I saw a saying the other day, and it felt so true to me, and it said, if you're worried that you're not a good mom – then you are a good mom.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Where was that when I was?
I saw that one and I was like, oh, that makes me feel really good. If you're super concerned and anxious that you're not doing good enough, then you're doing good enough.
Absolutely. I was just about to say that before you said that.
That's cool. That's a cool one.
And that's good to know because my son, he has, last year was the year of worry for him. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Is really, really good. Well, during Christmas of 2020, my kids were, 20 and 24, and that was a weird – does anyone remember 2020?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like a Christmas, fever dream.
It's a blur.
Yeah. Both my kids this was not my dream for them. I thought they should be school teachers. They both went off into the military. So they were both in the military at that time, and they let me know. And that was a madcap time. My dad lived with me. My mom is a few minutes away. And they both say, oh, we got leave and we're coming home for Christmas. And I'm like, you can't come home for Christmas. Cause you know, it was all so crazy then. We didn't know what was going on. I'm like, oh my gosh, like grandpa's in the house. And so anyway, we were able to stay up at camp, up at our church camp. And the camp director said, yes, you guys can come. There's nobody here, obviously. So y'all can just come and have Christmas at camp, which was really such a great treat. And so now they're kind of young adults. And we had this dinner one night, and everything's different at camp, right? So we're just sitting there in the dining hall, we're having dinner and kind of talking about the things, like, I'm like, all right, lay it on me. Like, what do I do? How do I mess you up? Like, what's the, you know, and it's really, I can't wait for you to be able to experience them as adults because they process their life. They can look back and process it now with different eyes. And so one of the things I had guilt about is, you know, if you work at a church, your kids spend a lot of time at the church.
Yes.
Right? And so I was like, oh, man, all right. So now I've just made them hate Jesus. I don't know, because they're here all the time. And so I said, you know, well, what about like growing up in the church? Because I was a youth director right after my first child was born. I was immediately, you know, a youth director. And they kind of grew up with that. And then I came back to youth ministry when they were teenagers. And I said, so what about growing up in the church? Like what were the negative impacts? And they're like, no, what we learned is that we help people, we serve. And that's what we do. And whether you're serving here in the church or you're serving, like, you help people. And so, you know, that took a little burden off of me. But how do you think, playing the tapes forward, what do you think that your kids who are also in similar situations, spending more than the usual amount of time here at church, what do you think that they might look back at this time and their perception of it and their lessons?
I'm interested to see, because my youngest, she gives me a hard time with religion. There's been a lot of times where she's just like, I don't know if I believe in God, Mom. I don't know if Jesus is the reason for the season. And so I'm very interested, because there's a lot of Sundays where they're here with me for all three services. So I'm very interested to see how she'll turn out and if she'll believe in God or not. My other two, I believe that they will still have a relationship with God and believe in God. Now, whether they choose to continue to attend church when they're older, is another story, but my youngest is a big question mark at the moment.
Well, and I think I watch the people of the congregation with all of your children. And, you know, when your kids come around, like, people will light up and they'll be happy. So I think, I hope at the very least, they feel welcome and like this is a home. You put your kids, Lindsay, right? I mean, you have them lifting full-on pallets over here in the pantry.
I do. So
they're going to be like, man, church is hard.
Yes. They, my kids know when they come here, they are here to work. I normally bring them once a week to volunteer in the pantry. And they know that if they're here, they are working. They're lifting pallets. They are crushing boxes. They're taking things out to the trash. They're restocking shelves. Mm-hmm. And they work very hard to do it. And they love it. And I think one approach that I have kind of taken, and I guess I'll preface this, I've taken it because my husband is agnostic. So he actually does not come to church with me. And I've always respected that it's his faith journey. And all I can do is pray that he will find Christ on his own. And he's always been very supportive that he married somebody that was super religious. So yeah. We've decided we don't ever force them to come. It's completely up to them if they would like to. And in my circumstance, they ask to come, mm-hmm. Which I have been really proud of. They are the ones that are very excited to come to church. They're excited to volunteer in the pantry. They want to come to these different things. Every Christmas, they get very excited to be involved in the Christmas pageant. Mm-hmm. And they remember the hanging of the greens ceremony when we came and had hot chocolate and decorated the mm-hmm. tree. And that's things that they ask, knowing when Christmas is coming around. They're like, oh, are we going to go do that? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, we are. And in our house, Easter is huge. Easter is like the main holiday for us. It's just been always been my favorite. And my kids know that on Easter, you are getting in a dress and you are standing in front mm-hmm. of that cross with all the flowers and you're going to smile. Mm-hmm. And we will take the picture over and over and over again until it is to my liking. So mm-hmm. they've kind of just come to be in this routine a bit, but they look forward to it, which yeah. is I've never wanted them to dread coming or yeah. to make it to where they were like, oh, we have to go again. Mm-hmm. Because I started working here the day after my daughter turned one, and she's now 6 and a half. So she's been, they've been coming with me
yeah.
Quite often ever since they were very, very little.
Yeah.
So nice. I've wanted, and when they were super small, they didn't have a choice. They just came with me because I was nursing and they're little. But now that they're older, I've left it up to them and they are always very excited to come.
That's
and
great.
They know if I'm leaving, they're like, wait, if I can find shoes, can I come with you?
That's great.
And
if
it's
I
always,
can find shoes.
If you saw my house, you'd understand why that's the most relevant thing. Shoes. Most days I have to find shoes too.
Don't
so
you just keep them in the car? That's what I do.
I actually keep a spare in the car just in case. Not just for them, but for me as well. Because
oh, yeah.
I am the chaos creator.
I understand. That's great. And it's great that the traditions, the church traditions are their traditions. You
yes.
know, when I took this job the second time, my kids were, you know, teenagers. And I said, this is a family decision if I take this job, because you will put up more tables and chairs and you won't even believe it. And I remember a few months into it, I'm like, did you believe it? They're like, this is a lot. So what about you, Katie?
Oh, it's so true. Sorry. I'm just kind of like overwhelmed with emotions right now because I think of I'm in a mood. I'm sorry.
I love it.
Well, feel I start feels. Thinking about things like, you know, when we move, what will they have? I start thinking about things like when I was a kid, what I had and what yeah. I appreciate about having. Oh, so that's why I get so emotional. So sorry, I apologize. My children, yes, they're here all the time and they don't have, you know, for me, my husband's gone a lot throughout the week because he's a truck driver. So they come with me to church and they don't always like it.
It's not a choice.
This is their second home. They sleep here. They eat here.
Yeah.
They are here, you know, a lot of the time when I'm here. If you ask them right now, I mean, I see all the time the benefit of that, the relationships that they have, the older people that are caring for them. You know, when they're baptized and they say, you know, you accept, you know, yeah. this child into your community and everybody repeats. And that is really true for us here at Desert Spring. And it's such a beautiful thing because they have those relationships. And I know from the tail end of that, that having that community and that support, even through the hard times, is such a beautiful thing. Having that church community is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I want them to experience that. And yeah, you know, you don't know. They might not be happy about it in the end, but I was, and I really want that for them too. So
It is beautiful. And I know you grew up here, and then I see now y'all were in youth group together. Now you're the youth directors together. Yes. And recreating those beautiful moments and memories. And this is what I know is, and we see this, my favorite thing about Christmas Eve is that the youth group kids, the alumnites, I call them, they come back, and after the service, you take pictures by the Christmas tree. And mm-hmm. So even if they're not going to church, or their parents aren't going to church, because parents have a way of going to church till their kids graduate and then tap them back out again. But the kids, even Paul Kazimov, who worked this Christmas Eve, he got off work and drove directly here to be here for the midnight picture.
Yes. You know,
because that's home. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And I think I really admire you as moms. It's so much harder. You all have it so much harder than I did at my time. So I admire that. And I think it's great that they're in a place where they have people to talk to, you know, or people that notice them and notice, like, hey, you know, Stevie's looking a little off right now. That was so cute that Lyndon, someone had made those handmade cards for him, and you know, knew it was his birthday, and that's very sweet.
There's been an older gentleman who's kind of taken Lyndon on as his little buddy, and I really think that's cool.
Yeah.
Because Lyndon always sees him, and he goes, says hi, and they talk for a little while, and then they go their separate ways, but Lyndon looks forward to seeing his friend.
Yeah. So. That's awesome. Yeah. And I know that you all are going to have episodes, and I'm just get to be here for the intro one, but you know, I did want to ask you your thoughts about what you do personally to help with their spiritual development. You know, I ask my kids, they knew all the stories. Louis, I think I have a recording of him, like, when he's three, like, telling every story about, you know, Noah. And I mean, the pets were all named after Bible characters, and the fish and the, you know, whatever. You know, they know the stories, right? They know the children's versions of the stories. Later, they're like, whoa, this is more, we didn't teach that in Sunday school. But, you know, what are the practices, or what do you think that they see in you that with their own faith journeys, or what do you try to do to help them? Because, you know, we want them to be thinkers, and you talked about that, Katie. You want them to be critical thinkers, so you don't want to be like, well, I'm telling you this is it and this is it, you know. And you, if you haven't had this experience as a youth director yet, as youth directors, you will, where parents come to you and say, oh, my child is struggling with their faith. And I'm always like, good, because that means they're thinking about it and they're wrestling with it. And so, but what are some ways that you try to help them find their own faith?
Yeah, I like that what you said, because to struggle with it has to be important enough to you. Mm-hmm. To have that struggle, you're thinking about it, you're curious, you're asking questions. For me, I just let them know, you know, things that I don't know, I don't know. Things that I believe are things that I believe, and these are the options for you. You know, we always give them the option if they would like to pray. Lindsay told me a fun story about my kid in Sunday school.
It's the best story.
What?
It's the best. I was in Sunday school, and I had to tell Katie, I said, you know, Lauren was so excited to pray, and he just has, you have to see Lauren, but he has just the cutest face.
He does.
And he has these like little baby cheeks. Yeah. And when he thinks really hard, his eyes get all squinty, and it is just the sweetest face. Mm-hmm. But he prayed so hard. And I mean, his hands were just right in front of him. And he had this like scrunched up face where his eyebrows made that little squiggly in between. And he was concentrated so hard. And he was just like, Jesus. And you could tell in that moment, like, he was talking directly to Jesus through his heart.
Oh,
and I couldn't wait to tell Katie, because it was just the sweetest. Oh, like, and there was like utter chaos going around in the room.
Yeah.
So he was just
right there paying attention, and everybody else is like just in their own world, and he was in his own world, and he was in a moment with Jesus. It was just the sweetest thing.
That's beautiful. Well, he watches, you know, Katie, the praise director, you know, you cannot go into worship with Katie singing and not feel it's almost like you're not even aware that we're there. Right. It's like, I mean, I know, you know, we're there, but you're just having such a spiritual time. And it helps us, too. So that's a great example that he's learned from you. Yeah. What about you, Katie? What do you try to do? I know you talked about during Christmas, you had decided, were you reading the book of Luke?
Yes, we were reading the book of Luke. That one led to some questions or statements from my youngest of being, Jesus isn't the reason for the season, mm-hmm. because he doesn't come back to earth for his birthday, and he should. Snow isn't in the Bible. Don't know how we got there, but we did. And so I let them ask the questions that they want to ask. Right now we're doing a family devotional once every Sunday. This was our second week.
Great.
Doing it. Through that, the main question that gets asked a lot is, who created God? Mm-hmm. I'm honest with them and telling them, I don't know. And then there's a lot of, the devil, Lucifer, was an angel, and now he's down below when trying to discuss that. And we talk about it, and I'm honest with them. And sometimes I'm like, I don't remember from my Sunday school lessons what Lucifer did to end up going down. So maybe we should Google this. I don't know. But one thing I love to do is we listen to SOS Radio and K-Love. Fridays are our favorite because we listen to K-Love, and they have this thing called Happy Dance where people pop up on the radio, they share their news, and then they play this thing that just goes Happy Dance, and then there's just a little tune.
Okay.
And you're just supposed to dance along to like celebrate with that person. And my kids love that. Love doing that on their way to school.
Oh, that's great.
At dinner time, we try to do a family prayer, and I always ask my kids if they want to pray. And my youngest daughter and my oldest daughter is normally like, okay, let's do rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to win. Or my youngest daughter is always like, I'll pray. She always wants to pray, so.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. The little things exposing. And again, you don't have to know all the answers. I always tell even new Christians, like, get a children's Bible. Because it's okay to read a children's Bible because the stories are simple and, you know, so I think that's great. And just praying and playing the music and all of those little subliminal, you know, subliminal things. So what are the rules that are like, absolutely, this does not happen in my house? In my house, for my kids, they were not allowed to have video games that were like violent or that had a V or an M, violent or mature. Now, for their good fortune, their dad and I divorced, and so they did have a house with V and M. So I don't feel like they were completely deprived from life. But they would joke like... so that was kind of like, and we couldn't hate was not a word to say in the house. So, and they're just kind of, I don't know why those are my rules. Their dad's rule was they couldn't watch Rugrats, but, okay, I'm going to, Teletubbies was kind of one for me, but anyway, basically I hate the word hate. Yeah. Violence and all that is just, I tried to put that off as long as possible, the exposure to that. So, and lying, that they will tell you, like, what is the one thing? And as adults, they will say, like, just don't lie. You know, they even if they came and told me, you know, some heavy stuff, as long as they were being honest with me, I would not overreact. But what were the things for you? What are your guys' is like, do not do that? And they know, like, ooh, that will set mom off if we do that. Or we know we're definitely not allowed to do this.
Like no-nos?
Yeah.
I don't know. The main one is don't hit each other in the head. Heads are off limits.
I've got that rule too.
No traumatic brain injury.
No traumatic. Yeah, seems like a reasonable rule. No,
it's
head,
a good rule.
No head trauma. Yeah. The bellies and yeah, everything else is no problem. But the heads, stay away from the
heads.
Yeah,
no headshots.
Ours have this rule of don't say the word kill. We're not playing any games that involve killing, like Among Us, we used to play that a lot. And then from there, we noticed that our son would mention, I'm going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We're like, okay, that's off limits. We got to be careful with our son, what kind of shows we allow them to watch. So, mm-hmm. like, they can't watch SpongeBob SquarePants or shows along that line, because if he sees other characters acting mean towards people, he kind of, because he's the class clown in his school. So he kind of thrives off that bad behavior. So I got to try and tone it down and be like, here's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be good and kind. And
mm-hmm.
and yeah. he struggled with keeping his hands to himself. So I'm like, we always have to ask permission to hug and high five. And so
yeah.
those are kind of our rules.
Well, and, you know, I think we can all say, because we all have more than one child, that they aren't necessarily the same rules. And like, our kid, there turns out they are not the same. You can mm-hmm. have two people, you can make two, or however many kids you make, and they're different. So sometimes the rules have to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Lindsay?
Oh, it's so hard to describe my household because it's just – I think you just have to really know me to understand just the absolute chaos that my house is always in a state. We also live with a zoo of animals. But we don't say hate. We don't say stupid. Mm-hmm. Those are big, big no-nos for me. Any type of hateful language like that, we just don't use it. They can strongly dislike, but they can't hate it. We also are a very anti-YouTube family. We don't do any type of online activity like that. There's no online gaming, anything like that. In the same kind of tone, I also am totally cool with PG-13 movies. It doesn't bother me at all. My rule has always been, if you can watch it and not repeat it, it's fine. But if you start acting it out or repeating the words, then you're not old enough to handle the show. So we're big Marvel fans. So we've seen all of the Marvel movies, all of the Avengers and everything. And we've always said, these are words for adults, and you are not there yet. And when you're an adult, you're more than welcome to choose your language. But right now, we use respectful words, and that's worked out really well in our favor so far. But there's just always just chaos going on. So I think one of my main rules, especially now that I'm in my third trimester and I'm just always tired all the time, is if you have time to bother me, you have time to do something to help me.
Feels like maybe something your parents might have said to you. And right? Did you ever hear your mom's words coming out of your own mouth?
Yes. So they always want to have like a conversation when I'm like about to get into the shower, or I'm like going to go soak in the tub, and they want to come like talk to me. And I'm like, listen, this is my time. And if you need something to do, I would be very happy to give you an activity or a chore. Or you can go entertain yourself. And so they know, like, the first time they knock on the door, it better be real good, because they're about to have a list of things to do around the house. And sometimes they are in the mood to be very helpful, and they're like, all right, what next? What can we do next? And sometimes they're like, stay away from mom's room. She's in a mood. So
they know.
Oh, they know. Absolutely.
They know. So I'll start with mine and give you all time to think about it. But when is a time as a parent, as a mom, you just were like, all right, I'm in way over my head right now? You know, for me, I remember my oldest was in, I think he might have been a sophomore in high school. He was away on an orchestra trip with his school. And it was like 9 o'clock at night. My neighbor was in a cool show, and I was just pushing the button to turn my phone off, because we were in the show. We'd already ordered our drinks. We're like ready for the show. And the school dean, the number comes up, and I'm like, oh. Well, you know, on their trip to Knott's Berry Farm, they had seen some kind of show, a pirate show of some sorts. And in the gift shop, he had bought a bedazzled pocket knife, which is in fact a weapon. Even if it's bedazzled, it's still a weapon. And it's like, you got to be kidding me, right? I'm like, so the rule is, you know, the paperwork you sign. And, you know, when the kids go on mission trips, and this is the same paperwork, like, if your kid breaks any of these rules, that you have to come and get them. Unfortunately, when they're in California, it's 9 o'clock at night. But, you know, and the principal, you know, he calls me. He goes, no, I don't want you to do this. I'm like, no, these are the rules. So it's going to happen. And I just remember, like, driving and driving and driving. We get there. We pick them up. We drive home. And I'm just like, oh, I can't, like, what were you, you know? And I just can't even, if I'm too upset, or I try to wait until, like, we're not even going to talk about the consequence because, you know, now it's midnight. We had to stop at some really terrifying motel just to sleep for long enough to be able to be safe on the road again. And we get home and the sun is coming up and he says, Mom, I need you to take me to camp. I need to go to the labyrinth. I'm sorry, what? It's like the sun is up now. I've been driving all night. I'm so done with you, kid. Like, what are you? But when your kid says, I need to go spend time with God. Great. Okay. So I drive up. I'm like, all right, get in the car. So we drive up, his brother too. We drive up to the camp. Nobody's there because it's like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. And he spends a lot of time in the labyrinth, walking the labyrinth. I mean, I have fallen asleep on the bench out front while he's doing this. And he comes out of the labyrinth and he says, Mom, we need to talk. Oh, you think your kids dread those words when you tell them we're going to talk? My heart just sank. Like, whatever he is about to tell me, I know I am not ready to hear. And I really wasn't. I really wasn't. He had decided just to confess everything on that morning that I had absolutely no sleep. And I just sat there while he was talking, knowing that at some point I'm going to have to respond to all this and just like going praying to God, like, God, like, what am I supposed to do with this? And it was a really hard time to be a mom. But God gave me words of grace and love, and I was able to respond. But for me, that was a time that I felt like I'm in way over my head on this. So y'all aren't really so much in the teenage phase exactly. You're just there.
Stevie,
okay,
is a little...
So let's hear it, Katie.
My husband sometimes calls him 14-year-old teenage girl because... like one day he just turned into that. I don't know.
That's awesome.
So he's great. He has all of the emotions. And the other day we got home from school and he got in trouble. So I told him to go upstairs and go do his time out. And I think, you know, he was hungry, tired from school, and he was in a mood. And so he says, I don't even belong here. You don't love me. I don't belong in this family. And he walks out the front door.
Okay.
I start chasing him down the street.
Oh, yeah.
And he's yelling up the top of his lungs to all of our neighbors.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't love me. I'm never coming back. He would be so mad if he knew I was telling you guys.
I don't think he's one of our followers. So,
and then I finally said, I know you belong here because when I was your age, I did the same exact thing. I packed up, but I was smart about it. Like, I packed up some like little Ziploc bags of snacks and I got on my bike and I said, I am never coming back. I was 9 years old and I left and nobody followed me. And I ate all my snacks and I was all alone and it started to get dark. And I said, well, okay, I think I'm going to go back home now. And I got home and nobody even knew that I had left. So I said, my child, I know you belong in our family because I am just like you. And I told him the story about when I ran away when I was 9 years old and how that went for me.
Oh,
yeah. And he came back
home.
So now he knows to pack extra snacks next time.
And now, and this is his third week without devices since then. So.
Okay. So you responded in love and with consequences.
Yeah. Yes.
I'd have been like, I know you belong here because your pants are in your drawer. Get up there. No, they're on the floor probably more
yes.
likely. That is great. Thank you for sharing that. That's wonderful. What about you, Lindsay? Have you ever thought you're in over your head?
I think the hardest moments for us so far have been in death. Like I had mentioned earlier, we have a little zoo in our house. So with owning animals comes, the end of life for animals. And, this past week we lost my senior dog and this was the fourth dog now that has been lost in both of my kids' lifetime between my parents' house and our house. So they're no stranger to it. They've had their rodents pass away and their lizards and my son's snake had passed away.
And each time we've had to navigate it. And I think that's every time a death approaches, it's really hard for us because they want to know the same questions that I do. And I don't have an answer to give them. So when my senior dog passed, my 6-year old, we have two other dogs. I have a 1-year old puppy and I have a 9-year old dog. And the senior that passed was almost 15. And my 6-year old asked me, she's like, the other dogs don't seem sad. Why aren't the dogs sad that our dog died? And I was like, well, shoot, I don't know. I what do I say to that? And I was like, well, I think their tear ducts are really small. I think that's what I went with. I was like, well, their tear ducts are really small. So they're crying, but they just don't, their tears aren't as big as ours. So I was just trying to navigate that to where I'm answering appropriately, but I don't want to make anything up. And just had Katie had said earlier, like you're answering questions that are really hard, but you want to give them age appropriate, mm-hmm. realistic answers.
Yeah.
I don't want to give like, because I said so, or mm-hmm. that's what happens, or it's magic. I don't want to give those answers. I want to give really thought provoking, realistic answers that are age appropriate. So when our dog was passing, we knew it was coming. So I had told them the day before, I was like, hey, she's at the end of her life. And then they wanted to know, well, how can I tell? And we talked about what the stress on her body and how she's not really wanting to eat anymore and different things. And we talked about, we were going to put her down. We were going to go to the vet and put her down. And she just didn't make it to the appointment. She had passed in my arms. But I had sat there and I said, they wanted to know how it happened. So I gave a very descriptive explanation of what happens. I said, we're going to go here and they're going to put an IV in her arm and they're going to give her one medicine that makes her really tired. It makes her eyes are going to close and she's going to fall asleep first. And then they're going to give her another medication and that one's going to make her heart stop working. And I know in their minds, they were like, wait, what? But I didn't want to lie. And I also don't want to make it scary. I didn't want to say they fall asleep. Because she's not falling asleep.
Going to the farm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wanted to make it very appropriate, but every time this comes up, because we have a plethora of animals, so every time this comes up, it's like the same questions. Yeah. And every time it comes up, I mean, time has passed, so they're processing the information differently. Mm-hmm. You're going to process it differently at 3 than you are at 6. So each time, I might be giving the same answer, but more questions are forming because they're starting to understand a little bit more. So they're getting more and more comfortable with what's happening and with what the process is. So that's where I'm always over my head when it comes, because I just want to make sure that I don't want to scare them. I don't want death to be a very scary thing. I want it to be something that it is a part of life. And I always say, you know, our dog was Duchess. And I always say, you know, Duchess gets to go be with Jesus now. And, you know, Duchess is very lucky because she is now going to go get to run to the arms of Jesus. And I think that brings some comfort to it. And I've just tried to be as gentle as I can when it comes to it. But that's when I'm in the deepest of the trenches.
And it is very hard. Mm-hmm. And especially when you've got you're having your own, you know, feelings about
things. Yeah, because you're feeling it too. So you're just as devastated, but you're trying to process it appropriately in front of them as well. So the kids they saw me cry and it's still very fresh, so I feel like they bring it up like 14 times a day. And they're like,
it's still fresh.
Mom, remember when your dog died? I'm like, yeah, it happened 2 days ago. Thank you for that. You know what? I sure do remember. I was right there.
Still wearing the same sweatshirt.
Oddly enough.
Oh, just kidding.
I'm like, oddly enough, I was holding her, so yeah, I was there. Yeah. But it is sweet because each night now, my daughter's been like, should we pray for Duchess?
And I'm like, we should. That would be beautiful. Really wonderful. So we're kind of growing together with learning about it.
And they want to comfort you. And, you know, I love that you said that you cry. They saw you cry. Mm-hmm. I thought at the time I was doing the right thing. My kids were 5 and 9 when their dad and I, you know, separated and divorced. And, you know, I just was trying to be strong. I don't want them to think they have to be the man of the house or whatever. And they never saw me cry. And as a result, when they were adults, they were like, you know, the divorce really didn't faze you. You never cried. It's like,
wow.
And so that was, I should have let him see, you know, you're trying to keep it together. But I think showing that you are human and yeah, you guys got more to come. Trust me. Trust me when I tell you. So I know this is the end of our intro, except we have now Faith in because they're getting ready to roll into their next recording. So we're going to pass the microphone to Faith. And she's like, this is not what was happening. And so, Faith, I'm passing the microphone to y'all for the month of March as parents. But because they'll be hearing from you in the next episode, just from you, what's the best part about being a mom? And we already said Faith is our director of children's ministries. And how old is Hannah?
Hannah is 3, going 4.
About to be 4. Close to 4. Yeah. Okay.
In April.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best part.
I think the best part is just having this human being. You know, like it's. I've always watched my mom when she was saying, when you have your own kids, the bond is different.
Yes.
You know, like you when they cry, you feel it. Whatever happens, even if they hurt a little bit, you have to teach them to be obedient. But sometimes it's like when they're sick, it's the worst. That's the worst part.
Yes.
For me, it's like when they're sick, it's just like you just feel that. So yeah. The bond is very strong.
And it's a really great way to end this episode because, and I'm not comparing us to God, but I'm saying I do understand the love that God has for his children, because your children, and they've already put us all through a little bit of something somewhere along the way. There is absolutely, can you imagine anything that they could do that could make you not love them, you know? And so I think that's when it's hard to understand God's love for us, I think. Yeah, well, it's hard to understand that we could have ever felt this kind of love. I mean, this is a totally different kind of love. And I think it helps my love for my children as a mom, helps me understand God's love, you know, for me. So, well, I'm excited to see where y'all go with this. We're calling it March Madness because it's about parenting this month. So excited to see. I'll be listening in. I will not be in the studio for the month of March, but I will be listening to your episodes, and I'm excited to hear about that. And well, with that, unless anybody wants to close in prayer, I'm going to close this in prayer. Gracious, loving God, just thank you for the moms that are gathered here. We thank you for all of the moms and the dads, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, the foster parents, for all of the people who are tasked right now with raising young people, recognizing that it's not an easy job. You gave us all free will. You gave them free will, Lord. And so we're down here dealing with that. And sometimes we get it right. And sometimes we struggle. But we always have a new day and another chance to get it better. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for just the support we have in the mothers, that we can support each other in the ways that we can share and be a part of this. We just bless all of our children at whatever age and stage they are, and just pray that above all that they know that they are loved by us, and therefore that they are loved by you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.